I tell you, little buddy, this whole island is bewitched.
You remember, we were shipwrecked together.
Welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. I am Greg Kot. My co-host is Jim DeRogatis. And if you want to be the first to hear our bonus podcast, become a Sound Opinions member on Patreon, just like Andrew Daniel. Thank you, Andrew, for your contribution to the show. We really appreciate your support. Jim and I have so much music that we want to bring out into the world, share with our listeners. Jim, what track are you going to share with us on the Desert Island Jukebox today? Give us a hint.
Greg, I'm going to play a track by one of the founding groups of Chicago punk in the 80s. It's a sad occasion. It's an obituary. You know, rather than dwelling on the sadness, let's remember the music. That's why we play these.
Yeah, I'm glad you're going to touch on this, Jim, and I look forward to hearing what you've got to say here in a minute on Sound Opinions.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We are back, Jim. You know, to me, the only question was, what song are you going to play from this marvelous musician and in tribute to him and his band?
We are going to play a track by the Effigies, which were led by vocalist John Kesdee. Wow. You know, his death hit me hard. He was 64 years old. In late August, he was an avid bicyclist.
Mm-hmm.
Something about a delivery van in a bike lane, and he slammed into it, and that was the end of John. This came after surviving the Highland Park 4th of July shooting 2 years ago.
Right.
He was grazed in that 4th of July parade shooting. Who was John Kesdee? He and his brother, I think, you'd be hard-pressed to find a pair that had more to do with putting Chicago on the map as far as punk rock. When Evanston High School kids, right, they fall in love with the Sex Pistols. Pierre, who's the older brother, who died in 2020, goes on to be a member of Strike Under and Naked Raygun, right? And John fronts the Effigies. And so there's three bands that put Chicago on the punk rock map in the 80s. Big Black, led by Steve Albini and Santiago Durango, and Naked Raygun. Whoa. Right? And the Effigies. The Effigies are the hardest in some ways, which is something to say when Big Black was so abrasive. They're the hardest. They're the most streamlined. They're the most stripped down, economical. This is post-punk. This is, you thought everything that could be done with guitars, bass, and drums, and that Ramones and Sex Pistols template, you thought it was all done. We got more to say. They're political in a very city of the big shoulders, working class kind of way, not being theoretical about it, being tough, coming from the streets and singing about the realities of the streets and Chicago. Fascinating, John becomes an officer of the court, winds up running the grand jury bureau for the attorney general's office. Many tributes in the wake of his death in late August. One said, you know, name another punk rock frontman in the history of the genre that winds up putting people in jail, you know.
Yeah.
I'll get to the song I'm going to play in a minute, and it's strictly for personal reasons. I saw the effigies. Going to school in New York, living in New Jersey, I see the effigies on what must have been the first or second tour out east, which is how I was initially exposed to Big Black and Naked Raygun on tour, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, to me, I looked at these guys, I listened to these, this was Chicago. I'd never been to Chicago, I didn't know anybody from Chicago, but seeing those three bands, oh, I think I understand this city, and I would come to know it well. Fly on a Wire was the album, and I always thought that that title, which John had chosen, was a nod to another great post-punk band that showed how far the genre could be pushed with some artistry mm-hmm. and imagination. Wire, one of my all-time favorite bands. Yeah, I want to talk about the aesthetic. Steve Albini had a quote in one of the tributes about, you know, the effigies were a moving force during a crucial and exhilarating time. Essentially, he went on to say there would be no Chicago punk without mm-hmm. them. Sometimes dug up a piece I'd done on the effigies in 1999 during a reunion and included some of that. I was making the argument that none of the alternative explosion of the 90s, Smashing Pumpkins, Urge Overkill, Liz Phair, Veruca Salt, et cetera, would have happened without the effigies, who were first preceding Naked Raygun and Big Black
yeah.
and the ground that they broke. You know, so my band, my stupid art punk band, is lucky enough to open for the effigies in the reunion, right? And this is like 20 years ago, right? And I'm telling this anecdote just because it illustrates what John's aesthetic was. It was a poorly attended, I think, weeknight show. And we were just thrilled to be on the same stage that the effigies would soon take. At the end of the night, John gives guitarist Tony and my band a wad of cash. And Tony says, well, it seems like, you know, because it's the door, right?
Yeah.
So there's always fives and tens and a lot of singles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Tony says, what, you know, what is this? What is all this? And John says, it's the whole door. You guys take it. And Tony's like, that's not right. What are you doing? We were just happy to be playing with you. He said, we didn't promote this show hard enough. There weren't people here, and it was our fault. The mm-hmm. door belongs to you guys. And he wouldn't hear no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, mind you, it's probably like $30, right? But, you know, Tony was so struck by that, and so was I when I heard about it later, that, you know, I mean, this guy is a legend as far as we were concerned, and the records live on. There were only three in the original incarnation between, you know, 84, 85, 86, and then they put out another record when they reunited in 2007, deserved to be much better known. They're harsh, they're abrasive, especially Fly on a Wire, and I'm going to play the title track. But I think, you know, in terms of the mix of what they were doing with punk and whatever would come next, and in terms of the lyrics, cast off illusion. No one stays to watch. You've got to do it all, then take it up a notch. Young man, your hearing's gone. Watch where you make sport. You've traded in your long sight for short. Always telling people to want more. Turn it up to 11. Don't follow the status quo. And it's like, okay, Mr. Prosecutor, I will take your advice, John. So Fly on a Wire by the effigies in tribute to John Kesdy. I know you have Kesdy stories too, Greg, and we had them on the show in August 2007, show 88.
I interviewed John half dozen times and had many interactions with him at shows because they were that kind of band. You know,
yeah.
they would hang out. But I remember I moved back to Chicago in 1980 after going to school. A lot of people were saying, well, there's not really a lot going on here locally. There's a bunch of kind of not so great bands in Chicago at this
time.
There
was enough's enough.
But then, as you mentioned, there was this like outgrowth of bands. And here I'm hearing about this band starting a label, like a punk band starting a label in Chicago, Ruthless Records.
Mm-hmm.
That's the effigies. So Albini gets all kind of, sentimental when he talks about these guys.
Yeah.
You know, which is pretty rare.
That
back
is
in
rare.
Those days, especially.
Yeah. Especially, yeah. He's a different
like,
Steve today.
They were like godfathers to the whole scene in a lot of ways. And I'm aging them because they weren't that much older than anybody.
No.
It's just that they were more I think they were saying, we're going to do this.
They had it together.
And I remember coming to one of their early shows, and when the band takes the stage, assembles, and they're ready to play, and everybody sort of moves towards the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, I want to get as close to this as I can, because I'm really excited to see these guys based on these singles that I've been hearing. And I remember when they started playing, I like took a step back because it was just so physically,
yeah.
I you know, like they're assaulting you. You know, yeah, it's like they're coming at you hard. And it was that Chicago attitude, brains and brawn.
Yeah,
you know, it's like two things that you don't normally associate. You either got one or the other, but not both. This band had both intelligence in the way they were presenting the music, the lyrics, but at the same time a toughness. Mm-hmm. That I just felt I didn't hear in too many other places.
And yet they were the nicest guys in the world.
Absolutely.
Like, you guys take the door.
They were scary when they were up on stage, but then you talk to them, you go, dude, I'm having a real conversation with these guys, which is, that in itself was refreshing. You know, the rock stars would go and hide after they played their show. You know, they were too big to talk to the hoi polloi out in the audience.
Well, and they would show up at the last minute, never watch the opening band.
Right.
You know, all that sort of thing. And Chicago had
was different.
It was not that.
The bands were in each other's audience. And and because of what Kesdy and Effigies did, ethos was ingrained in every band afterwards.
So he just retired after this long career with the Courts, and was no doubt looking forward to future chapters when this accident hit.
Yeah, apparently they were working on a record, right? Another record.
Oh,
is what I
understood.
Yeah.
You know, the info was sketchy. The Sun-Times had a great obit.
What a great band, and I'm glad we were able to pay tribute to them. Glad you picked that track. You could have picked anything.
Yeah, any of those first three albums. Body Bag is probably, that's the most streamed at this point, but I'm like, I don't know. I saw a Fly on a Wire live, and that just killed me. So, Sound Opinions, as always, is produced by Alex Claiborne, Andrew Gill, our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo, and our Columbia College intern, Max Hatlam. Social media is handled by Katie Cott.